Are they or aren't they, I guess, is the term that's being used to discuss this whole government shutdown issue. It appeared over the weekend like they were going to make progress, like things were coming together. Then this morning, it seemed to have all blown up. Nobody really winning in the public opinion race. Tom Shoup is the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine and joins me now to talk about it. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Francis.
Nobody is winning. There's no winning scenario in this at all, really, is there?
No, it's really, I mean, it's really hard to see a situation in which either side comes out a winner in this.
The whole idea of this being over seemed to be a lot more possible over the weekend. The number was agreed upon, the $33 billion in cuts, and then Speaker Boehner said yesterday, no, we don't like your $33 billion, we like our $33 billion, and that's kind of where I get this whole nobody wins angle, because we've kind of now, it strikes me, we've gone beyond the productive phase to just the very standard operating procedure, which is very, very partisan, very political.
Yeah, it does seem to be changing by the day, by the hour, by the minute, even. Certainly even yesterday, it looked like things were pretty much set. So, yeah, and I think that both sides are sort of a leadership problem on both sides. Like, it seems that Speaker Boehner is having a hard time getting his Tea Party wing in line with this, and every time it seems like they're close to a deal, and he sort of hints that, oh, okay, this seems pretty good, he comes back the next day and says, oh, no, the cuts aren't sufficient enough, or they aren't the right kinds of cuts. And on the Democratic side, they seem to have trouble getting President Obama engaged in this process in a constructive way and a consistent way throughout the process. So it's never clear when the White House is going to step in and when they're not and what they're going to say. So it's a disaster.
Well, and the latest on that I found intriguing, because the president had Senator Reid and Speaker Boehner at the White House today. The speaker comes out and says, we didn't accomplish anything. That didn't do us any good. The president gives a speech and says, this isn't going to work. It can't continue to be done this way. Yet he's really powerless to stop it. And then says, if they can't reach a deal tonight, I'm going to have them come back to the White House tomorrow. Right before the speaker said that didn't accomplish anything. And so I agree with your assessment that the people are trying to figure out how the White House is engaged on this. But the idea of just calling them back there every day, I'm not sure is necessarily going to help much.
Yeah, I don't know either. I do think this sort of frenzied end game before the funding runs out is not that uncommon. It's happened in the past that when they're actually close, it could actually be an indication that they're close to getting a deal, and both sides are sort of last minute digging in their heels and establishing their positions before they say at the last minute, okay, this is the deal. And because remember, when the White House says we're not going to accept any more short-term continuing resolutions, I don't think that's really what they mean. What they mean is we're not going to accept any more unless there's a deal in place.
Right.
So they can go right up to the last minute and then say, okay, now we have a deal in place. We'll take another continuing resolution for the next few days while we iron out the details and everything else. But what seems to be them digging in their heels on both sides may not actually be entirely that.
And that brings us to the twist that we learn about today that I mentioned in the DOD report just a few minutes ago. The one weaker that Republicans are working on in the House would be one week for all the civilian agencies, but would go all the way to the end of the fiscal year for DOD. So that's kind of a weird permutation of this whole thing.
Yeah, although actually in the 1995-96 shutdowns, that was the way it developed there too, that as time went on, more and more agencies were added to the list who got their full appropriations, so that whatever shutdowns there were didn't affect them at all. So again, that's not entirely unusual. In fact, I think it's fairly unusual for nobody to have their full funding this deep into the fiscal year.
Yeah, I was talking about that over the weekend with some OMB folks who used to be there, and then they couldn't remember a time when we were this far along with nobody having any money plans in place for the rest of the year. One of the complaints that we've been hearing, and I imagine you have been too, is OMB's not telling us anything what we should be doing or talking about, not communicating with us. Are you hearing that as well, and what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think we're definitely hearing that, and certainly the unions are making a huge stink over it. They're going to court over it today. So I think that there is a real lack of information out there, even though these agencies have to have these plans in place. I mean, I'm somewhat sympathetic to the White House in them that they're clearly not wanting to get too far out there and saying, hey, basically we're treating a shutdown as inevitable and all the plans are in place and we're prepared for it. It runs the risk of it looking like they're actually angling for a shutdown. Mm-hmm. So they're in kind of a tough position. But it is, you know, people want to know who's going to be deemed essential emergency personnel and who aren't.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea is unfortunate because as I'm thinking about what you're saying and then thinking back to what we just talked about members of Congress, everybody, almost everybody in this equation is posturing to some degree, except the people that you and I care about the most, and those are the people who are actually trying to fulfill the mission every day.
Yeah, that's right. They're stuck where they're always stuck, in the middle between these two sides that just seem to be going back and forth at each other endlessly. And all, you know, the people who are running this stuff, all they're trying to do is get it done from day to day. And the ongoing uncertainty, we are hearing that a lot now, that, you know, it's making it impossible to plan for stuff. And now so much effort is going to have to go into just planning for the shutdown itself. And if there's even a brief shutdown, everybody will be working on that for some period of time. It's one of the little things that people forget is that one of the things you can keep doing when a shutdown starts is making plans for the shutdown and for the orderly shutdown. So there'll be lots of people doing that at the beginning. It's just a big mess.
In the spirit of what many folks are doing this time of year, and that is either crying over brackets that just exploded last night.
That would be me.
With the UConn victory, right? Or trying to decide how far below the top of the National League East the Nationals will finish. That would be me. Make a prediction, if you would, about where you think we'll be when you and I have this chat next week.
Okay, I think I'll give you three scenarios, I think, in order of likelihood.
Okay.
One is that there's a last-minute deal. This sort of thing I talked about before, where they say, okay, we've got a deal in principle. We're going to have another short-term CR of a few days or a week or whatever. But the deal's in place. We've made the deal. We're going to move on.
Okay.
The next is a mini shutdown, and I think that's a lot more likely than it looked even yesterday or over the weekend.
You mentioned that a couple of weeks ago when we talked, and I have, by the way, given you full credit for that as I've discussed it. But I think that one's, yeah, that's a good thought that I don't think I'd heard before.
And I think now that could even go into the next week. One of the things people forget about shutdowns is the 95-96 one, which tends to be the benchmark these days, that was really long, like especially the 96 one was 21 days or something. And that's very unusually long for shutdowns. Shutdowns of a week or less are not that uncommon. There have been a lot of them since 1980 or so. So that kind of thing where they say, yep, we're shutting it down. Everybody gets to make their point then, and the pain is relatively limited. So that's not unusual. What is, I think, very unlikely is a long-term shutdown because the pain is going to happen within a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that are painful, and that is people not being able to go to national parks, contractors not getting paid, other high-profile stuff, that kicks in within about a week, and that makes it very difficult to go on beyond that.
All right, I wrote those down, and unless my crack filing system fails me again, which it has a tendency to do from time to time, we'll talk about those next week when we get together.
Oh great, I'm going to be accountable for my
Oh, you're accountable on In-Depth, man. I keep track of this stuff, man.
I'm in trouble now.